Blog Talk Radio.
May God grant me the words to speak his thoughts, and may God bless this special program this Sunday afternoon in America, where we are. It might be evening, night, early morning, Monday, wherever you are. May we have a wonderful show this afternoon. I am Beth. Hello there. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. And you are tuned to one of your favorite podcasts, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, right here at BTR Blog Talk Radio. So super excited about today's show. Later on in the show, Pastor Don CEO will be calling in. And he's testing me right now. So he will be calling in later on in the show to talk about elevator pitches. So I am super excited. Hopefully Cousin Linda will join us also today. But big shout out to all of you, the listening community, BTR, the top listening countries, my native United States, Turkey, Finland, Canada, Bangladesh, Brazil, Romania, and China, and everywhere. Here in Mississippi, in Dallas, Arizona, where Pastor Don CEO Jr. is, friends in Minneapolis. Big shout out to the real Shelby J. I think she's going live on Instagram like right now. She's doing a walk for autism. So big shout out to her. I had told her, I had mentioned her new B boutique. Big shout out to my Avon community, my Avon coach, Milagros Garcia and her husband and business partner in Florida, and all my Avon family all around the world. Big shout out to Making Strides. Also, you know, my Making Strides event is coming up real soon in late October, and a lot of activities are happening right now. I have signed up, so super excited for that. Big shout out to Traders Village in Grand Prairie, Texas. Shout out to Africa Imports in New Jersey. Just the family and friends near and far, a big shout out to you. Thank you for tuning in. If it's your birthday, happy birthday to you, anniversary, any special occasions. And if you're dealing with some challenges, also sending out prayers. I definitely appreciate your love and prayers. Big shout out to Cathedral Amy Zion, Pastor Gary Adams Sr. and his First Lady, Mrs. Janice Adams, and the entire congregation. Looking forward to coming to church in person soon. Also, my prayer partners of Powerhouse Kojic. They've been so busy doing revivals also, but definitely join us for our conference calls on Mondays through Fridays. In the 6 a.m. in the morning and noon. If you're looking for a miracle, you definitely will expect miracles when you call in and pray with us. So I really appreciate your prayers and your positive vibes that you send me. And can you feel my prayers and positive vibes that I send you? Big, big, big shout out. I feel like I'm forgetting something. But, oh, the birthday song, because you all know I love birthdays. I can't believe the fair will be here soon. Soon in Jackson. I know being in Texas too. What other states host their state fairs, like in September and October. But October the 5th was when the Mississippi State Fair kicks off at the fairgrounds, Mississippi State Fairgrounds. Oh, but if it's your birthday, happy birthday.
It's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's your birthday.
And thank you so much. Happy birthday. And thank you so much for interacting with me throughout social media and in person also. And right here on the show, I'm headed to the chat because usually there are fellow podcasters here from the Blog Talk Radio community that chat with me. And also, listeners, remember to create your listener profile. But thank you for interacting with me throughout social media on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and LinkedIn. And I know I love LinkedIn, but you all know I had created a backup page, and I'm doing my best to log in I logged into my original page because I have so many connections to my original page, but I'm doing my best, you all. So if any of you have sent me messages throughout LinkedIn, I'll get to you soon. I'm doing my best to get in. Isn't it crazy when you're locked out of your own situations? Yeah. And those of you that interact with me on TikTok, big shout out to the fun TikTok family. I will be going live on all my social media platforms, and I'm looking forward to learning so much from what Pastor Dunn, Jr. CEO, will be sharing with us later on in the show regarding how to get our messages through within 60 seconds, our elevator pitches, for our businesses. And if it's for, seeking, a Shark Tank type deal, or getting a loan, or collaborating, doing business with someone, just how can we not stumble on words and get our point across and get our message across, convey what we need to say regarding our businesses. And we all know our businesses are part of our personal life. It's our personal life. We live and breathe our businesses, our work, if we're seeking promotion. Even elevator pitches are important for nonprofits, are important for if you would like to get a pay raise or a promotion in your business, or a subcontract with a business or with a government entity. It's very important, even in our personal lives, right? Even in our personal lives and friendships and relationships and romance, it's important for us to know how to apply certain steps to get our feet in the door, right? And get the deal working, and not just stumble. And no one wants to waste their own time, or definitely not someone else's time, because we all have a lot on our mind, a lot of things to do. So definitely looking to him sharing that information. Pastor Dunn, CEO, many of you all know him because he's very active here on Blog Talk Radio, and he calls in. We had a very great convo on Friday night when he called into the broadcast, and he sent me a wealth of information. That's why I rescheduled the show twice on yesterday, because he sent me a wealth of information, and I have been studying and researching a lot of the information. So you can, he always put out his personal number, and also he's very congruent with his name on social media. Some of us change our names on social media, but his name is congruent throughout his social media presence, Pastor Dunn, Jr. CEO, on all the platforms. That's his name. So he's not hard to find. Like in the words of Coach Prime, and congratulations to Coach Prime and the Buffs also. Big shout out to Jackson State home game will be this coming up weekend. So there's celebrations planned this week in celebration of DAG. So big shout out to the NFL, big shout out to student athletes and sports fans, like, and those that do business with sports athlete teams, and also our college and, well, college sports. But, you know, hey, these college teams are doing, players are doing amazing things, right? They're very professional. Many of them are definitely ready to become professional players. NFL, big shout out. Saints not playing until tomorrow night, right? Dallas, they're playing now, right? But of course, I'm not watching the game. But I'm spending time with you all my Sunday afternoon. So, but big, just thank you for your love and your support. Remember, email me at cultureshock, KULTURESHOK ENT_Beth@yahoo.com. KULTURESHOK ENT_Beth@yahoo.com. Thrice, because I like to hear things three or four times. KULTURESHOK ENT_Beth@yahoo.com. Also, Cash App, $BETHBTRUKULTURESHOK. Cash App, $BETHBTRUKULTURESHOK. $BETHBTRUKULTURESHOK. And PayPal.com/Beth, BETH, Williams, WMSBTRU. PayPal.me/@BETHWMSBTRU. Again, at BETHWMSBTRU. That's the PayPal info. Well, thank you again for tuning in. Let's have fun. Empower by Osoku. Yes, I love many different genres of music, as many of you know. And that is a pretty cool song called Empower. You know, alternative indie vibe, and love it. You know, I love R&B, blues, country, rock, hard rock, classical, you name it. I love it. Spoken word, I love it. The different genres, yes. Comedy, you name it. And I am loving this new P. Diddy. Oh, my God. Yes, because originally I did schedule this show to be focused on sports and entertainment. So we'll do a rundown of the NFL schedule, and we will definitely focus on sports and entertainment completely on next Sunday. And, you know, we always talk about hot topics on each show here at Culture Shock Entertainment Report. So the Dallas game, yeah, just started. And I'm checking up what was going on with other games and with the schedule. So this is week two. Week two. Yay, football is back. We're definitely ready. Definitely ready. So football is back. Yay. So no teams on bye week this week. I didn't think so. So Thursday's game, Minnesota and Philadelphia, that was 28-34 with Philadelphia winning. Right now on Fox, we have, today's the 17th, we have Atlanta and Green Bay playing, and the score, Atlanta's 25 and Green Bay 24. So let's see. Las Vegas and Buffalo. Buffalo 38-10 final. Cincinnati, Natty and Baltimore. Baltimore won that 27-24. Final overtime. Seattle and Detroit 37-31. Final Indianapolis and Houston 31-20. Final Kansas City and Jacksonville, Kansas 17. Chicago at Tampa Bay, that final 27-17, and final OT with Tennessee and the Chargers 27-24, Tennessee 27. So right now, Fox, we have Arizona and the New York Giants. That game just started, and we have San Francisco and LA going on. And on CBS, the New York Jets and Dallas. Which will be kicking off now. And Washington and Denver. Big shout out to Coach Payton and his team and Russell Wilson. Big shout out to Washington too, Washington Commanders. That game is kicking off. And at 7:20 tonight, Miami and New England Patriots. So I'm looking forward to watching that game. So tomorrow night we have two Monday night football games. ESPN, we have New Orleans and Carolina. And on ABC and ESPN, we have Cleveland and Pittsburgh. That should be a good game, Monday Night Football. So that is this week's schedule and scores. So let's see. And feel free to call in. This is like Chill Sunday show. And I am premiering another show here. Culture Shock Entertainment Reports exclusive will be premiering. And you can catch it during primetime, times. And also, you all know I've kicked off Culture Shock Entertainment Reports exclusive on Spotify, which can be heard on iHeartRadio also. So, really appreciate you. And so, I'm checking out schedules. Let's see. AFC. I like to look at the full like the full schedule. I could pull up the full schedule. That would be neat. So I could just do the rundown. Let's see. And feel free to call in also. And I'm headed to the chat room, in the chat room. Okay, I had to go into a little intermission right there. As I pull up the schedule, that's... I like to do a rundown going back to just straight down the list of the schedules. My apologies for the quietness. I've shared a lot of interesting celeb news also on my social media. If you all have been on social media today, I know many of you have because I hear from you. Big shout out to companies that I am a brand ambassador for and those who have been offering me to become a brand ambassador. Big shout out. And I had told you all I would share with you information regarding JSU's event. So I will do that now as I am pulling up the schedule. Let's see. I would do that right now as I pull up. Murphy's Law, what can happen will happen. It's happening with my electronic devices. So I'm going to leave a screen so I can quickly access the information that I need to. Then, so if I'm not looking at the studio screen, so if you call in, please be patient with me because I am leaving the screen so I can access some information that I need to. That I need to, let's see, where is it? Here we go. I mentioned this to you all. The tailgate, September the 22nd, that's Friday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Jackson Welcome Center at 308 East Pearl Street, Suite 100. Join us for the live performance, food, and more. Appearances by Coach T.C. Taylor himself and the JSU Tigers. Game day tickets will be sold and 10% off of all merchandise. And that is a partnership between the City with Soul, Jackson City, Visit Jackson, Visitors and Tourism Bureau again on Friday. You know, all the games have been away games. This is the first home game, and that is this coming up weekend on Friday. The tailgate, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday, 308 East Pearl Street, Suite 100. Join us for live performances, food, and more. Appearances by Coach T.C. Taylor and the JSU students. Game day tickets will be sold and 10% off all merchandise also at this event. So that's an invite that I had received from Visit Jackson. So I had mentioned that I would share that information with you all. And while I'm at it, I had a plan to share something of importance to you all. I'm, you know, Zig Ziglar is one of my favorite self-help sales gurus. And his son, he sends out some amazing letters to those of us that love and follow his late dad. And, you know, he happened to have been, he and his wife were from Mississippi, natives of Yazoo City, and, you know, lived in Dallas where Zig Ziglar company is, and his son runs it now. But this letter that I received from him on yesterday, and all his letters are very empowering. This letter from Tom Ziglar, the late Zig Ziglar's son, goes like this. Because I've been planning to share. Well, I was planning to share it with this show, on this show, with the I wanted to share it with Cousin Linda and with Pastor Doug, CEO, and of course I'm sharing with you all the listening audience. But this letter goes like this: Dear Bethany, do you want to leave a legacy that ripples through eternity? Yes, leaving an intentional legacy that ripples through eternity means that you have to daily pursue your purpose. This week, I heard a great explanation of what your purpose in life is. And quote, your purpose in life is to make a positive, valuable contribution to the world around you with the gifts and talents that God has given you, so that at the end of your life, you hear, capitalized letters, well done. And that's a quote from Jason Friend. So then Tom Ziglar asks, what are you doing right now to develop and use your gifts and talents so that the world around you is a better place? Choose to win, Tom. Very empowering, very empowering. And let me reread it again. And again, this is from the weekly newsletter that the late Zig Ziglar, see you at the top, you all know. if you haven't read any of his books, please do. It goes perfectly with what we will be talking about with Pastor Dunn, CEO Jr. Prayerfully, he will be joining us. Do you want to leave, dear Bethany, do you want to leave a legacy that ripples through eternity? Capitalized letters, yes. Leaving an intentional legacy that ripples through eternity means that you have to daily pursue your purpose. This week, I heard a great explanation of what your purpose in life is. Quote, your purpose in life is to make a positive, valuable contribution to the world around you with the gifts and talents that God has given you. Do that at the end of your life. So that at the end of your life, you hear capitalized letters, well done. And that's from Jason Friend. What are you doing right now to develop and use your gifts and talents so that so that the world around you is a better place. Choose to win, Tom. So I'm going to read it another third time, thrice, you know, so it can, you know, sink in. And then, you know, I'm going to post it too on my social media. Dear Bethany, do you want to leave a legacy that ripples through eternity? Capitalize, yes. Leaving an intentional legacy that ripples through eternity means that you have to daily pursue your purpose. That means consistently. This week, I heard a great explanation of what your purpose in life is. It, quote, your purpose in life is to make a positive, valuable contribution to the world. Like South Bay say, don't just be local, be globally. To the world around you with the gifts and talents that God has given you so that at the end of life, you hear, well done, capitalized letter. And that's from Jason Friend. I mean, you all can, we can look up Jason Friend. Many of you might have heard this quote. But what are you doing right now to develop and use your gifts and talents so that the world around you is a better place? Choose to win, from Tom Ziegler. And that is something that we always talk about here on Cut the Shock Entertainment Reports, and definitely when we talk on World Wednesday, how can we effectively make the world, every broadcast, but World Wednesday, you know, how can we really make the world a better place? And, you know, we all have something. We're still living and breathing for a reason. We all have a purpose. It's important for us to ask God, ask Allah, ask Jehovah, ask our higher being. If we don't know, God, I do. Dear God, show me my purpose right now. Show me my assignments right now that you would like me to do, that you have for me. Very important, very important. Also, so I'm going to go over and talk about some things about how to change your life and how we can change our life. Maybe not in 60 seconds, but simple ways of how we can improve our lives. And if Pastor Dunsey O joins us today or at another day, on another day, we can talk about the elevator pitch or how we can change our lives and stop procrastinating and in business and, you know, get deals done and close the sale and get that promotion or get that relationship or be successful being single or anything that we are have on our list of goals. Very important. So how to... I mentioned the other night during the broadcast a book I had about how to get your point across in 30 seconds. In 30 seconds. I love that book. How to get, yes, here it is. How to get your point across in 30 seconds. And I need to get a copy of that book again. How to get your point across in 30 seconds by Milo Old Frank, and he was like a producer. He is a producer of it used to be with CBS, but I really, it's a small book, but it was so effective. So how to get your point across in 30 seconds? I'm trying to pull up some points from it. Come on, come on, come on. That I can share with you. It's one of those books that I kept and like just, you know how you read something over and over and it's become all tattered and all that. But many of my books I need to replace. But that was one of those books that you read all over, and the page, the front and the back covering comes apart. So I'm trying to find some of Milo Frank, America's foremost business communications consultant, shows you how to focus your objectives, utilize the hook technique, use the secrets of TV and advertising writers, tell terrific anecdotes that make your point shine in meetings and question and answer sessions and more. And you can find the book that I'm talking about on Amazon, and also you can listen to it on Audible, but it's on Amazon for $11. And I see the exact book that I had too. I am definitely going to get that book again, because very to the point, how to get your point across in 30 seconds. He shows step-by-step how you can improve your communication skills by using a 30-second message. Because I remember one thing that he shared in the book, you know, people are just thinking about things, thinking about what they're doing, thinking about sex, thinking about a lot of things, and it's important to get people attention. So Milo O'Frank shows step-by-step how you can improve your communication skill by using a 30-second message. While we all often gab for minutes or hours, you should be able to get your point across within 30 seconds. The rest is simply preparation or follow-through. The techniques of crafting a 30-second message will help you focus your thinking, writing, and speaking. Using these techniques, you can also be more effective in conducting meetings or speaking to groups. The skill will give you better all-around results in business. The technique has three main steps. Identify your objective. Know your listener. You know, and it's not important to, you know, do a little research on. And sometimes you don't have time to do a little research because you might bump into someone in an elevator. You know, how often does that happen? That does happen, right? You like, wow. Might be somebody that you always wanted to talk to. It might be a stranger, like, wow, I need to talk with them. How can I get my message through, like, right now? Because we only have a few seconds on the elevator together. Literally an elevator pitch. Using these techniques, you can also be more effective in conducting meetings or speaking to groups. This skill will give you better all-around results in business. The technique has three main steps. Identify your objective. Know your listener. Find the right approach. The author shows how to build the most effective message and then tells you how to present it to an audience. The last chapter shows how the 30-second message can be used in other forms of communication, from business letters to sales pitches, press conferences, and get abstract. So you get abstract recommends, clear. So it's great for business people and professionals and many of us that find ourselves needing to get our point across when we only have a short period of time. Attention span. In the summary, because I'm giving you a summary, and like, again, this is a book that I own and just read like a Bible, no joke. Attention span. The average person's attention span is 30 seconds. If you try to focus your attention on, for instance, a chair, you may find that your mind wander off within 30 seconds. If the object could do something interesting like move or talk, it might hold your attention for another 30 seconds. But without motion or change, it won't hold your attention. Great example. Most television commercials are 30 seconds long because media research has shown that it is the average viewer's attention span, 30 seconds. Advertisers must get their point across within 30 seconds or they will lose your attention. To make maximum use of this short amount of time, television and radio news have developed a soundbite. The average television news story is 1.5 minutes. 30 seconds to set up the story, 30 seconds to show the clip, or play part of the interview. The part that succinctly makes the point becomes a soundbite. A rambling, unfocused message would not make it on the air. The same applies to you. That's with us. If you cannot get your point across, and my page, I was trying to expand it, and the page closed open, so if I can get that back open, open it back up. So the same applies to you. If you cannot get your point across within 30 seconds, you will lose your listener's attention. So Milo O'Frank has had a long career as an actress, agent, director, talent, and casting for CBS television, writers, producers, both independent and MGM feature films, and vice president of production for Cinerama. He conducts communication seminars for government business. He also wrote How to Run a Successful Meeting in Half the Time. He lives with his wife in Beverly Hills, California. So he has another book also, How to Run a Successful Meeting in Half the Time. So I'm definitely going to get that book again, and I recommend also to you. So it's very important for us to know that. So looking forward to Pastor Don CEO's talk also regarding the elevator pitch in 60 seconds. But that's really important. Let's see. How to get your point across. Thank you, God, for blessing my presence, and thank you for blessing me with a wonderful listening audience. How to get your point across and finally be heard. Interesting tips that I found on LinkedIn, speaking of LinkedIn. The writer, Nozomi Morgan, shares that she had read, and this was a few years back, like more than a few years back, from 2015. She states that she had just read a great New York Times article from Sheryl Sandberg and Adam Grant on why women don't speak up more. It says what most women in the professional sphere have all too often experienced. When a woman speaks in a professional setting, she walks a tightrope. Either she's barely heard or she's judged as too aggressive. When a man says virtually the same thing, heads nod in appreciation for his fine idea. As a result, women often decide that saying less is more. The article cites a study by Professor Breskow, who teaches at Yale School of Management, my alma mater, what the writer shares. Her research shows male executives who spoke up more often than their peers received 10% higher ratings of competence, while female executives who spoke more than their peers were scored by both men and women 14% lower. Is silence truly golden? No, I don't think so. Not when promotions, pay raises, and prestige at the workplace are on the line. The authors of the article suggest that businesses need to find ways to make a change and correct gender bias. They contend we need more President Obama-type leaders who understand and create opportunities for women to speak and to be heard. I wholeheartedly agree. This is in the article. Leaders need to be more aware of bias and follow through with action that addresses it. However, professional women need to take action too. If you are with a boss in leadership who doesn't get it and are clueless and uninterested in learning how to alleviate bias in the workplace, then it's up to you. What would happen if you chose to take a stand and make a difference? And this is, you know, this is like talking about women. But it crosses genders, this article. What will happen if you chose to take a stand and make a difference? Be warned, my suggestions are bold and will feel awkward at first, but with practice, patience, and a polite energy, that could quite possibly change the way your peers respond to you. Below I've listed 6 suggestions that help you get your point across, the writer shares. Number 1, refuse to be interrupted. When you speak, don't allow colleagues to break in. Rather, tactfully continue talking and finish your thought. It would be uncomfortable at first, especially if you are used to handing over the floor every time someone breaks in. If the interruption persists, politely ask, may I finish? Speak confidently and trust your ideas. Do you have your own back? Do you really believe in yourself and your ideas? Do you listen to your own voice? It starts with you. Before you enter a meeting, give yourself a private pep talk. Set an intention, we hear it again, intention, that you will respectfully listen to each person's ideas and that they will reciprocate in kind. 3, when someone breaks in, speak a little louder than normal. If you find you are being cut off in the middle of your thought, continue talking, but increase your volume slightly. Look the interrupter in the eye and politely say, I wasn't finished making my point. Again, this may feel awkward at first. However, you will make your point and be heard. 4, suggest no interruption policy at meetings. Talk to your company's leadership and your peers about the problem. As the New York Times article suggests, this one change could transform the dynamic of every meeting you attend and your workplace as well. Yes, it could possibly help the morale if you have a morale issue. This is me talking at your company. Understand your own communication style. Right, we have different communication styles. So we try to figure out other people's communication styles, but like the writer states, let's work on understanding our own communication style. Understand your own communication style. Be creative and be open to new ways and ideas. Each of us has our own communication style, and we communicate and process information differently. When you want to communicate effectively, know your style as well as your boss and your teammate style. The goal is to understand one another, to listen and to be heard. To listen and to be heard. For you, if you feel you have a hard time getting your opinion across during meetings, find other ways to make it happen. For example, talk to the meeting organizer before the meeting and let him or her know that you have a topic you would like to discuss. Yeah, that works. Come to the meeting prepared. Create slides and documents that grab the other attendees' attention. You don't have to have the loudest voice in the room to be heard. And the truth is, there's no right way. Each of us must find our own way. 6, embody the leadership lifestyle. Too many women, and this article can go for, both genders and, trans and all. Too many women give up too soon. They immediately go into a limiting mindset and shut down whenever a colleague cuts them off or interrupts. Don't give up before you have your say. Stand your ground and honor your ideas. Realize you are a leader, regardless of your position or job title. Your ideas and opinions matter, too. It's your job to ensure they're heard. As the leader, it is your job to get your point across while also respecting the contributions of others. An essential part of this is to find your own way, the way that works the best for you. Your way might look completely different from your colleagues' way of doing things, and that's okay. And that's something that many of us need to embrace. Sometimes it's not good to steal other people's way of doing things because it worked for them. You're different. We're different. I'm different than you. I do things different. Ultimately, I want you to be the effective and be yourself. You don't have to be the loudest, most aggressive person at the table to get your point across. Yes, this way works for many people, but it's not the only way. Do you constantly get interrupted and cut off at work? What suggestions do you have to help alleviate the problem? What's worked for you? And then they're asking questions and people are sharing it. So wow. So that's pretty cool share right there. Very important about you know, getting your point across in an effective manner and timely manner at that. And so as we talk about the topic of effective communication, so that's pretty cool. Then there's 10 ways to get your point across persuasively. And this is from BRI blog. 10 ways to get your point across persuasively. Persuasively. That's the magic word. Most people have their mind made up about everything. Politics, social issues, business decisions. Just ask them. Very few people will invite you to persuade them to do anything. So if you're going to get someone to change their behavior, their actions, or their mind, you'll need to do it intentionally. Consider these 10 tips. The third time we've heard the word intentionally. Number one, listen. I'm sipping on tea also. Listen, great negotiators distinguish themselves with their ability to listen well. Having both people walk away satisfied with a deal often depends on how well one listens for agreement and mutual opportunities. Ditto for changing someone's mind. Where's the sweet spot, the need, the dissatisfaction, the unmet goal, the dream? Listen for how your message aligns with what the other person already wants or needs. Two, match their reality. Many executive speeches miss the mark because they aim for the general workforce and hit no one. The average employee can't even relate to the executive's experience or examples. Narrow your focus. Match your listener's day-to-day experience. Make your point real and relevant to the few, not the many. This sounds like good tips for the UAW workers and many other industries and, you know, entrepreneurs like myself and business people in corporate America and all. Look, even parents, right, mom and dad, reduce the emotional noise. Ever been to a sports event where the noise from the game and fans around you drowns out your conversation? That's often the kind of emotional noise you're competing with as you try to get someone's attention for your point. Don't make the mistake of increasing the chatter and drowning out your own message. Wait for a more appropriate time. Four, make the point painful or visionary. Open their eyes to the current situation. Make the person or group feel the pain of the status quo. What's doing nothing going to cost them? Loss of respect, diminished brand, lost productivity, low morale, hard dollars, if not pain of the present, can you paint a picture of the future? If they made a change, help them catch a glimpse of a new dream. Get specific. People think in pictures. Talk about a warehouse, not a facility. Ask for an additional 3 new employees to complete the project, not additional resources. Recommend that you delay signing the supplier agreement for 60 days, not that they reconsider the supplier agreement in light of certain new developments. Number 6, speak to the heart. Make it personal. Politicians understand the power of an emotional appeal to move a nation. Consider past campaign slogans and speeches. Listen also to sound bites and stump speeches that tug at the emotional string. Either positively to position their point of view or negatively to put down opposing perspective. Yes, of course, people want data and explanation. Just don't expect logic alone to build your case. Storytelling is a basic skill for persuasive leaders. 7, give relevant reasons in the right order. What seems obvious to you it seldom obvious to the other person. Trust me on this. Having taught presentation skills workshops and writing skills workshops for more than 3 decades, I can't tell you how often I've discussed a persuasive presentation or sales proposals with someone, pointing out that the next action was unclear. Their frequent answer, oh, they'll know, that's obvious. And when questioned, the intended target didn't know. If you're speaking to someone you expect will agree with you or someone you think will be neutral, present your strongest reasons first. If you're speaking to a group or an individual who will be opposed to what you have to say, start with your weakest reason and build to the strongest point. Be brief. Too many words can bury key ideas, enough said. Number 9, watch your language. Words embody thoughts, shape opinions, and direct actions. Words can move a nation. Sink a stock or launch a war. Yes. They can mend a marriage or end a partnership. Some word choices simply turn people off because they are tactless, tasteless, or pompous. Sift such from your language. Plan your phrasing before you open your mouth. Make sure your body language, very important. I am a person that watches body language, and I do my best to watch my own body language. Make sure your body language, people can, I mean, I read people easily, and a lot of people can read me. I'm very transparent. Make sure your body language supports rather than sabotages your point. This new program will ultimately save us time, said with Chiron posture, translates to, I'm unsure whether this new program will save us time. When there's a contradiction between the visual and the vocal, body language trumps. The ability to persuade makes leadership possible. So that's some good advice too about effective communication. So public speaking. Woo. Yes, many of us, and this is from Inc. I love Inc. magazine. This is from Inc. and 5 public speaking tips to get your point across effectively. And, you know, many of us need tips. You know, if it's from speaking anywhere, a small group or a large group, many of us need that. Even been a podcaster, you know, need that, you know, this public speaking. 5 public speaking tips to get your point across effectively. Follow these tips, steps to engage your audience and give them something to remember. And this is from Hillel Fuld, Tech Marketing Startup Advisor. Like it or not, as a founder, you're going to have to learn how to be a master communicator. Whether it's pitching an investor, and so we're talking about pitching, explaining your product to a potential customer, are speaking at a conference. There are some things you can do to make sure you communicate in the most effective way possible. Here are 5 tips to ensure you get your point across. The opening line is key. You know what they say. You only have one chance to make a good first impression. Starting off a talk with, hi, how's everyone feeling today? It's an easy way to lose your audience in the first 5 seconds of your talk. One, I might have some audio right here too to share with you all. Let's see. See if it'll come up. Check out this audio. Well, the audio is not coming through. So, easy way to lose half your audience in the first 5 seconds of your talk. One trick you can try that is guaranteed to capture the audience is to start your talk with something like, I shouldn't be telling you this, or this needs to stay in this room. However you start your talk, make sure it's a strong beginning, because in an era of decreasing attention spans, if you start off weak, you might as well just get off stage because no one is listening anymore. Slow down. It is natural to want to get something over with, especially if it's something that makes you nervous. Public speaking is the most common phobia in the world. You need to fight that urge. The slower you speak, the more confident you sound, and the higher the chances you keep your audience engaged. If you're speaking fast, it gives off the impression that you're nervous about the content of your presentation. A good way to avoid it is to start off very slowly, even exaggerate it a bit, and then you can gradually get a bit faster. But no matter what, make sure to speak slowly. Notice how I began to speak slower. Three, engage the audience. This is a slightly obvious one, a good way to make sure your audience is engaged, to engage them. Ask a question and wait for an answer. Ask the audience to stand up for an experiment. Ask a question, ask for an answer by raising of hands. A good trick here is to ask a question that is easy to answer and people feel passionately about it. So try something like, iPhone users, raise your hand. Whatever you do, don't make your talk a monologue. Pause for questions. Encourage participation. And even force your audience to play an active role. It makes me think of Brendan Burchard. he had a conference, a coaching summit in Austin, and the coaches there, and he was just, I would love to attend one of his summits because they are so interactive. And number four, tell stories. I'm no psychologist, but I believe that people love stories. Yes, they do. I love stories. I love to tell stories. We love to share stories here on Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, don't we? I'm no psychologist, but I love that people love stories because it brings them back to their childhood. Whatever the reasons may be, human beings like stories. Tell me a story, and if we're first time meeting, I will always remember you, and I will ask you about people that you told me that you included in your stories. You know, and you have heard me talk about that here. I remember stories, and I remember the people that you include in your stories. And I would say, oh, well, how's your former coworker? How's your boyfriend? Or how's your daughter? How's your dog or cat? I remember stories, and when I see people again or communicate with them again, I remember the stories to the point where I even inquire and ask about, well, what's going on? You remember you told me this. per our point above, you can start your talk with, let me tell you an amazing story. If you're speaking to an investor, for example, instead of starting your pitch with, we've developed a long energy Bluetooth 5.0 IoT device that ensures you don't lose your suitcase in the airport, try. Remember how when you flew last, you had that anxiety we all shared that your suitcase wouldn't show up. But we've cracked that. Whomever it is you're speaking to, remember that people love a good story, especially when a story has a happy ending. Yes, I love happy endings. Number five, end with a bang. As it is with an investor deck, some people will only remember how your talk ends. Don't just say thanks and walk off stage. Figure out a way to get the audience so excited by your ending that they instinctively want to give you a standing ovation. So, for example, I often give talks about Israeli tech. I go through the different metrics that prove how amazing Israeli tech is. And when I end my talk, I end with, and no matter which metric you look at, it's clear that as an ecosystem, we are only just getting started. However you choose to end your talk, you want the audience to applaud or you're talking to an investor, you want them to nod their head in agreement with your mission. The beginning and end of your talk are the determining factors of whether your talk is successful. Start strong, engage your audience, and end with a strong statement. That's pretty cool advice that I've just shared with you from Inc. Magazine. Great advice. So, and I scheduled today's show for 2 hours. You know, usually even when Cousin Linda's with me, we go over 45 minutes or the hour. I'm trying to see if I can get that audio pulled up, but it's not pulling up. So, let's see. So that's some pretty cool advice right there. And here's some advice from way back from Forbes magazine. Simple way to get your any point across. Bottom line, Jacob lives to talk, and Sophie talks to live. There are two classic types in the making, what I call the plain talker, who gives you the bare minimum of information, and the protracted talker, who doesn't always know when to stop. Or some people might say that would be me, right? It's weird, though. I like to listen, too. Chances are you've met those types of types yourself, and maybe you are one of them. No matter which you may be, or even if you tend to talk just right, you may benefit from a tried and true formula for communication success: the PREP method, P-R-E-P method. In this four-step process, and many of you probably have heard this, you get to figure out where you tend to go long, where you fall short, how you organize your ideas, how to make a complete case, and how to keep from getting lost in your thoughts. As long as you remember which letter you're up to, there are only four. You always know what's supposed to come next. A P, point. Make your point. Make it clear, clean, and concise. It can include a point of view. Brief doesn't have to mean neutral. Keep your point to one sentence or two at the most. If you're a plain talker, you're probably used to ending here, so stay tuned. If you're a protracted talker, you're likely to worry that this won't be enough. Don't worry, there's more to come. Example, coaching is worthwhile investment for managers. R, reason. Justify your point. While plain talkers may think this is the beginning of the overkill, shouldn't my point be enough? You need a reason, though. Yeah, you know, we're in the why time. Everybody want to know the why. You need a reason, too. Protracted talkers often start abusing their communication privileges. Here, you want reasons? Here are 32. Oh, my God, I can relate to that. I feel that. I think one robust reason is excellent. Two solid reasons are good, and there are the maximum. After that, you start to lose your listener, your ground, and your train of thought. Example, coaching is a worthwhile investment for managers because it offers them an objective perspective and a resource for ongoing skill development and helps hold them accountable. Okay, E, example, but our evidence, our experience. Back up your point. Bring it to life. Bring your life to it. For plain talkers, telling personal stories can be a challenge. They can feel like filler or fluff. But this is what illustrates the point and the reason. This is what brings them to life for the listeners. I invite you to try it. You just might like it. And I also invite you to use statistics if they make you more comfortable. Numbers, you know, I'm a numbers person. If they make you more comfortable, or external examples. For protracted talkers, you can feel restricted, sticking to one concrete example or one piece of evidence or one personal experience per reason. Do it anyway. If you leave the listener wanting more, you get your chance to tell additional stories later. Example, when I first became a manager, I wasn't sure how to effectively make the transition from peer to boss. Luckily, I began working with a coach who helped me objectively identify what the obstacles were to making a smooth transition and what opportunities I needed to take advantage of to establish myself in my new role. My coach also helped me to see that while my technical skills were excellent, I needed to work on my communication and feedback skills to be a more effective manager. As I grew into my role, my coach, wait a second. My screen popped up. Wait a second. My screen scrolled. Wait a second. Okay. Trying to get my, it scroll. As I'm reading it, scroll. I invite you to try it. You just might like it. And also invite you to use Stacks. If they make you more comfortable, extended examples. For protracted talkers, you can feel restricted, sticking to one concrete example or one piece of evidence or one personal experience per reason. Do it anyway. If you leave the listener wanting more, you get your chance to tell additional stories later. And, okay, now I'm back on an example. When I first became a manager, I wasn't sure how to effectively make the transition from peer to boss. Luckily, I began working with a coach who helped me objectively identify what the obstacles were to make a smooth transition and what opportunities I needed to take advantage of to establish myself in my new role. My coach also helped me to see that while my technical skills were excellent, I needed to work on my communication and feedback skills to be a more effective manager. As I grew into my role, my coach pointed out new areas of skill development that I needed to master to grow myself in the department. Finally, my coach was my accountability partner and supported me in reaching my ongoing development goals in an effective and efficient manner. She was, continues to be a critical partner in my success. Okay, that's cool right there. Point. Restate your point. Planning talkers, take note. The law of recency tells us that people remember best what they hear last. So this isn't just gratuitous blather. Protracted talkers, this is your opportunity to end succinctly with a finality. Either way, it's a gift to your listeners to be reminded of what you meant and that it's finally their turn to talk. Example, and that's why I believe that coaching is a worthwhile investment for managers. Whether you live to speak or speak to live, following the PREP method can help you prepare, PREP-ARE, prepare for conversations that aren't too hard and aren't too soft, but just right. And that's from Forbes Leadership Forum. So that is pretty cool right there. Pretty cool advice on getting your point across and how sometimes less is more and saying a little bit more for those that, you know, don't like to really share or talk more, just share a point and not share a why. Just, you know, say a little bit more and then the protractor talkers, I guess like myself, yes, I admit, say less. Learn to leave the listeners wanting more, because, you know, you definitely get a second, third meeting when you leave people wanting more too, right? So that is a very good point. So, pitching business ideas, and this is from Indeed. I shared some information from Indeed earlier today regarding sales. What is sales? So this is perfect for when Pastor Dunn, Junior CEO, does come on and talk about. And this is me. This is what I love anyway. That, you know, business and management, what I have a degree in and studied. Also, you know, business management. So I love talking about this. So I'm glad that this is something that we're talking about, and I'm looking forward to one of my folks, co-workers from Choctaw. I invited him on the show earlier this year, and he agreed to come on, so I need to schedule and get him on. When I worked for Choctaw Casinos back in 2015-16, Brandon Fields was one of our fabulous trainers over guest services, and he would train us of how to give the superb customer service. And now he's with one of the fabulous banks in the Texoma area and training vice president of learning and development, First United Bank, matter of fact. So looking forward to him coming on, also talking with us, speaking of, you know, because Lynn and I always talk about guest services. I asked her yesterday how was her lunch with her friends. She said the food was good, but the service was bad. So looking forward to her talking with us when she can. But this is from Indeed, pitching business ideas, how to pitch your idea to investors. And it's from the Indeed editorial team from February of this year. And when you come up with a business idea, you might not always have the resources available to make it reality. In this situation, you can pitch your idea to potential investors who can provide you with funding and or other resources such as industry experience, nor the components of an effective pitch can help you to engage with this audience and gain their support. What is a business pitch? So this is perfect. This is perfect. A business pitch represents a presentation that an individual or group makes to potential investors regarding a business idea. They perform this pitch to garner monetary or other resources that help them turn their business ideas into a reality or grow their business. Typically, this presentation involves a verbal pitch assisted by a slide deck that displays more detailed information about the business. An effective pitch is succinct and focused on the goal that the person wants to accomplish, offering enough information to engage their audience's attention and hopefully gain their support. And then also, they also have a related article called Guide to Business Pitching. So how to pitch your business ideas. You can use the – and I have business ideas too, and invention too. You can use the following steps as guidance for pitching business ideas. Develop your elevator pitch, what Pastor Dunn's junior CEO will be talking to us about. To ensure you send a clear message during your pitch, you can create an elevator pitch. In 30 seconds, this pitch should provide an explanation of your business idea and why it is unique. Having a clear and concise elevator pitch ensures that you have a clear understanding of your business idea and the goal you want to accomplish. This concept can help you stay on track during the presentation. It also helps ensure you know everything about your business. You can even use your elevator pitch as an introduction that grabs the audience's attention. And then there's a video. If I can get the audio up, I'll try to play. Trying to see if I can get this audio up. If I can get this audio up. Jean, a career coach, explains the importance of crafting a future-focused elevator pitch, highlighting where you've been and where you're going. No, and I'll try to get that sound up. Know your audience. You may present your business pitch to several audiences, so you must tailor your pitch accordingly. Take the time to research your audience to get to know their backgrounds and interests. These insights can help you know what they already understand about your business idea or what they may need to have explained in more detail. Understanding their specific interests can also help you ensure that your presentation connects with them. You also want to ensure you choose the right audience, which may vary on your needs. You may focus on the financial resources they can provide, on the industry expertise that you can use as a guidance to build your business. Tailor your pitch. Now that you know a bit more about your audience, you begin thinking about how to tailor your pitch to their needs, interests, and motivation. When pitching your business ideas, you want to think beyond the features it includes. Determine what challenges your audience faces and focus on your pitch on how your business idea can solve them. Creating that personal connection between your audience and your idea can make them more interested because it demonstrates how it can impact them. For example, if you have a potential investor with a strong e-commerce background, you may want to focus more on your e-commerce strategies or performance to engage them or attract their attention. Four, create your pitch deck. To aid your presentation, you need to develop a pitch deck. This tool represents a series of slides that provides an overview of your business idea. Combined with your verbal pitch, your pitch deck aims to garner the audience's attention and provide them with insights that can help them decide whether to invest in your concept. You may consider making two decks, a brief version to show during your presentation and a more thorough version that you can provide to the audience for further reading. The more thorough your version may include more, the more thorough version may include more specific details or information that you do not have time to cover during the presentation. And then there's also an article to, you know, break down pitch deck definitions and tips. Tell a story. To draw your audience in, you can use a story to frame your pitch. Through your story, you can demonstrate a problem that exists and illustrate how your business idea can solve it. Or you can tell a story about a challenge you face, which then led you to develop the business idea. Creating this story helps engage your audience more than if you simply read a list of the benefits or features of your business idea. A story can demonstrate how your idea actually helps people, which can resonate with audience members and build a significant connection to your business. If they can relate to the story, it can help make them more eager to support you. Then there's related article storytelling elements with the story and how to develop your process. That should be good. Six, demonstrate your solution. When telling the story of your business, you establish the problem that you aim to solve. Problem solver, right? The next step of your pitch is to illustrate how your business or idea solves the problem. List the three key benefits that your product, service, or solution offers to your potential customers. Think of this component as your value proposition. So then as a related article, how to craft a value proposition. Seven, identify your target market. Yes, most definitely. Very important. When developing your business, you should identify a target market that represents the customers you want to reach. In your pitch, share this target market with your audience to demonstrate who you believe will want to support your business. Create a target audience profile, then try to estimate the size of this market. Some terms you need to get familiar with are total addressable available market, serviceable available market, and service attainable market. By identifying this market, it can demonstrate your strategic thinking. So related, articles, how to identify a target market. I mean, that's number one. That's very important. That's like number one. Ever since I was a kid, I've always liked target market. Yeah, real important. A cow. Number eight, describe your business model. A business model represents your company structure. And when I met with my late brother-in-law last April, that was my purpose of meeting with him. And, you know, he wanted me to, he started teaching me his business model in 2015, but, you know, for years he had been wanting to teach me hands-on the business model. So last April, that's what he was showing me, the business model of his business and teaching me the business model. A business model represents your company structure. And I'm working on my business models for my, you know, for my businesses and all. A business model represents your company structure and demonstrates how it generates profit and builds value. Like Grant Cardone always say, we always have to like update and you know, he and his wife both, you know, update and change up and, you know, roll with how times change on us. Also, it's important to stay old school, like Pastor Don Jr. CEO talk about also, but it's important for us to, you know, roll with how fast society changes also. For example, it may include information about the company's operations and how it delivers its offers to customers. This information is essential for investors to determine whether they want to invest in your business. They need to ensure that you have a realistic business model that can make you and them money. Number nine, show why you are better than competitors. Often investors will want to know whether you have competition with similar ideas or offerings you can, and I'm a big fan of Shark Tank, so many of you are and have been on Shark Tank too, I'm sure. You can prepare for such questions or concerns by demonstrating what differentiates your business and gives it a competitive advantage. Like I have a reinvention of a popular food product that I've been working on since the 90s, and then I did pique the interest of Kraft when I was working with a company to investigate and see if I had any competition. And to this day, I see there are some that try to like reinvent the same food product, they don't have that idea that I have, you know. But I research and look at who are my competitors. And, you know, I have a company that research and I do my own research. And so it's important to know, like, who are your competitors. And I've noticed watching Shark Tank, they often sometimes determine, like, okay, how are – Sometimes they say no because of the competition, and sometimes they say yes because you stand out among those that are in competition with your product. You know, I noticed that on Shark Tank. So one method to demonstrate your value for others is to create a chart that compares your business features and benefits against theirs. When used effectively, this chart demonstrates that you offer more than your competitors, which can help you make more attractive to your target market. 10, showcase your successes and traction. When possible, you can establish your credibility by demonstrating the successes your business idea has already achieved. Pick the metrics that are most relevant to your investors and their interests. These successes may include impressive sales numbers or contracts you have established. If you set goals for the business early on, demonstrate how your team has been able to meet them thus far. This information offers demonstrable proof of your business value and your business and your abilities. 11, provide financial projections. One method of further garnering investors' attention is to project the revenue you expect to gain over a specific future period. Remember, you must have accurate data to support these claims. For example, you may base your project on current sales and marketing efforts you plan to implement. And then there's a related article called Guide to Business Forecast. 12, explain the customer acquisition process. Earlier in the pitch, you identified your target market. Now you need to explain how you plan to acquire those customers. Depending on your business, you can share your existing or planned marketing strategies. Explain how you plan to reach those customers, such as a specific types of advertising, and you can even provide examples of your messaging. You can also explain your customer acquisition costs for more insight. In a related article, the complete 10-step guide to customer acquisition. 13, introduce your team. When individuals invest in a business, they're also investing in its people. Help make a personal connection with potential investors by introducing some of the members of your team and the expertise they provide. When they can meet the individuals that they may be working with, it can help them feel more comfortable with their decision. It can also provide them with a clearer idea of the environment or culture you have created for the business. Having experienced team members can also help provide credibility to your business ideas. Declare your funding need. The end of your pitch should make it clear what you seek from investors, such as funding or business partnership. When seeking funding, provide information about existing investments and ownership percentages in the company. When investors have such information, it can give them a clearer idea of the status of the business and how it manages funds. It also demonstrates what type of role they will play. For some, they may determine they need a higher stake in the company to fulfill their expected duties. 15, answer the audience's questions. While your audience may ask questions throughout the pitch, you can set aside time at the end for additional questions. When preparing for a pitch, you should try to develop a list of questions you expect your audience to have. If you do this, it can help you feel more prepared during the portion of the pitch. This preparation can help impress your audience as it shows your business intuition and initiative. The more you pitch, the more you can begin to understand what questions the audience has, and you can begin incorporating these questions into the pitch. As you prepare for your pitch, spend time thinking about your business idea from the audience's perspective. Develop a list of some questions you expect to have regarding your product or service. 16, prepare for objections. Besides questions, your audience may also raise concerns or objections regarding your business idea. In this situation, it is important that you remain calm and do not act defensively. Similarly to questions, try to prepare yourself by writing a list of potential objections or challenges you believe you may face. Then you can prepare answers to each one. Taking this step can help you feel more comfortable and prepared. However, you may not always be able to predict what your audience says. When you do not know how to answer something, take a deep breath and be honest about your uncertainty. Let them know that you will look into that concern and can send a follow-up email with an answer. Okay, a related article is 13 Approaches to Sales Objection Handling. We all can use that, right? 17, ask for feedback. During your pitching journey, you want to continue finding ways to improve your pitch. I have some pitching meetings coming up. This is good info. When possible, reach out to your audience after the pitch to ask them for feedback. It can demonstrate that parts of your pitch work and where you can make improvements. You may not always receive it, but show your gratitude for those who provide you their time to give advice. If these professionals listen to pitches regularly, the advice can be a valuable resource. And 18, practice your pitch. Yeah, practice. Continue to practice and perfect your pitch. Spend time before each presentation practicing all aspects from your verbal pitch to any questions you think you would need to answer. If you have a team, try to include them in practice sessions to ensure everyone feels comfortable with the pitch. They also can provide feedback on your performance and offer insights on your speaking voice or use of nonverbal cues. You can also practice on your own, record yourself to assess the tone and flow of your speech. The more practice you put into your pitch, the more comfortable you will feel performing it for real. I'm going to repeat that. The more practice you put into your pitch, the more comfortable you will feel performing it for real. The more practice you put into your pitch, the more comfortable you will feel performing it for real. So then there's an article, how to create the perfect elevator pitch. So it's, we will talk about that. And again, this is from Indeed, and this is from the career guide section. How to perfect elevator pitch in six. Let's see if I can get sound. I can get sound. That would be good. Let's see. Hopefully sound can come up.
Hi, everybody.
Yay. How to create the perfect elevator pitch.
Career coach at Indeed with over 10 years of experience helping people advance in their careers. Today, I'm going to share some advice based on one of my favorite topics, how to create an effective personal elevator pitch. This video is going to give you the knowledge that you need to pitch yourself. That is to tell a compelling story about who you are and where you're going in under 2 minutes. This type of elevator pitch is perfect for introducing yourself at a networking event or even in an interview. Although, please stick around until the end for 3 key best practices for delivering an elevator pitch. You don't want to miss this. So, a personal elevator pitch is a concise story about your professional path and your ambitions. It should explain where you've been and where you're going. Generally 90 seconds or less, an elevator pitch markets you as a confident and intentional business partner or potential hire. During the early stages of an interview process or even a networking event, elevator pitches can be particularly helpful because employers may be looking at a high volume of potential candidates. Or meeting a lot of people, speaking convincingly about what you
a little glitch.
Okay. Help immediately signal your professional value. Now, before we move on, if you find this content helpful, let us know by giving us a like. And if you'd like to see more videos like this, please be sure to a good elevator pitch in a summary of who you are, your professional background, and what you want in your next job. A well-crafted elevator pitch can employ a similar framework that I would recommend to answer the question, tell me about yourself. We provide more information on that topic in a video that you can find right here. So, like any good story, you want to start by building out an outline. To tell the story about your professional journey, consider these 4 components. Who you are, how you got here, where you're going, and including a call to action. Now, I'm going to give you an example of each component and then put it together to create a full elevator pitch example at the end. The first component of an elevator pitch is the introduction. I recommend beginning your pitch by stating who you are and what you're doing presently. If you're at a networking event, start your pitch by giving a smile and a handshake and say something like, "Hi, I'm Jenna, career coach at Indeed. It's so nice to meet you." If you're a college student, you can include your major and your anticipated graduation date. For example, you can say, "Hi, I'm Carmen, a sophomore marketing major in the School of Business." Focus on where you are in your career right now, or most recently as it relates to the role that you're interviewing for or the one that you're interested in learning more about. If you're in an interview, it's not necessary to state your name at the beginning of your answer unless you've been asked about its pronunciation. Starting your response by saying, "My name is," can sound stiff and rehearsed in that setting, so you want to try to avoid that. Once you've introduced yourself, provide a high-level view of what you've been doing recently by sharing your responsibilities, professional interests, and any relevant projects you've worked on. The goal is to try to make a connection between what you have been doing and what you're interested in. If you're transitioning into a new role or industry, this is a great time to mention any certifications you've completed, classes you've taken, or personal projects that you've worked on. So in this case, consider sharing your most relevant experience before mentioning your most recent role if it's not entirely relevant. You want to highlight the transferable skills you've acquired that apply specifically to the role. So in an interview, take the opportunity to highlight a key accomplishment in this section and use the preferred experience or the skills that are highlighted in the job description to to determine which of the accomplishments you talk about. So here's a sample statement for a networking event. Hi, I'm Sharon. It's so nice to meet you. I'm an email marketing associate at Company C, and I'm interested in learning new ways to engage with my audience. Over the last 6 months, I've created user-centric campaigns that keep our customers engaged and coming back to our website. Now that you've shared who you are, it's time to move on to the next component. What led you here? Now, this can include giving a brief summary of any relevant previous roles, projects, or education if you're a current student or recent graduate. Include your motivation for entering this field or attending this event. If you're in an interview, refrain from just reciting a timeline of the events that led you to where you are. To make the most impact, focus on your professional ambitions instead. For example, if you're a nurse, talk about what motivated you to work in direct patient care. If you've changed careers along the way, or if you're trying to change careers now, speak to what motivated you to make that shift and tie a thread to this new career path. For recent graduates, you may consider talking about which classes motivated you to explore this particular career. This is really where employers like to hear a story about how and why you got to where you are right now. So here's a sample path statement. When I was younger, I had a close family member who was seriously ill, and her nurses were instrumental in her treatment and recovery. When I visited her in the hospital, I saw firsthand that a nurse provided more than medical care. They provided companionship and support as well. Since then, I've always wanted to provide that same level of care and support to other families in need. After sharing your motivations, it's time to focus on the future. What are you looking for next? When discussing where you want to go in your career, start with the why. Try to answer questions like, why do you want this role? Why are you at this event? And why are you interested in this industry or company? If you're at a networking event, your goal could be to learn more about the industry or to make more professional connections. If you're in an interview, this is where you would want to talk about how your goals align with those of the company. This is a good opportunity to explain the value that you bring, why you're a good fit for the role, or generally what your audience has to gain from your interaction. This is where you share what you have to offer in your elevator pitch. So here's an example of future focus statements. Right now, I'm seeking more leadership opportunities. After managing several roles, I discovered a passion for leadership and mentorship. I'm looking for an opportunity that allows me to use my industry knowledge and also challenges me to develop new leadership skills. After reading your job description, it sounds like this could be a good fit. So you've just spent the last 30 to 60 seconds taking the listener on a professional journey. Now what? The critical component of an elevator pitch is the call to action. Finish strong by asking for or stating what you want to happen next. In general, it's beneficial to keep the conversation going. If you're at a networking event, this can include asking questions like, now can you tell me a little bit more about yourself? So, what brought you to this event? Are you open to scheduling a follow-up meeting to discuss this further? If you're in an interview, try, can you tell me more about the company? Why did you choose to pursue your current role here? What qualities are needed to be successful in this role? At a networking event, if the person agrees to your request, thank them for their time, get their contact information, and when appropriate, provide a copy of your resume. End the conversation with a concise and action-oriented farewell, like, thank you for your time. I'll send you a follow-up email tonight. It was a pleasure to meet you. And if they don't agree to your request, politely end the conversation by saying, I understand, and thank you for your time. Now that you know how to structure your elevator pitch, here are three key best practices to keep in mind as you start to practice. One, keep it concise. Depending on the situation, you may only have a short amount of time to give your pitch. The general concept is that you should be able to tell your story in a short elevator ride. 30 to 60 seconds is the ideal length, but 90 seconds is the longest I'd recommend. Now, while you may not find yourself giving this pitch in an actual elevator, you will often find that you only have a short amount of time to introduce yourself at a networking event. Now, if you're in an interview, you'll generally have more time with someone, so you can expect to tell your story in about 2 minutes. Beneficial to have a few versions of your elevator pitch that you can use depending on the amount of time the situation allows. Two, keep it relevant. It's a good idea to have one general pitch that you can use at any moment, but it's also wise to tailor your pitch whenever you can. When you recall experiences, projects, and passions that interest you, make sure that they're relevant to the situation. If you're in an interview, it's smart to focus on highlighting the past roles, projects, and education that's directly related to the role that you're specifically interviewing for. At a networking event, you might choose to focus on sharing interests related to the field in general. So, for example, at a networking event for an industry you're interested in transitioning into, mention that you're looking to learn how others have made similar career switches. Or, for example, if you're approaching a startup company at a career fair, include in your pitch why you're especially excited about working at a startup. 3, keep it natural. When introducing yourself to people for the first time, you want to sound authentic, conversational, and natural. And being concise doesn't mean that you should try to talk quickly. Instead, craft a clear, simple message and deliver it with a slower speech so the listener doesn't miss important details. Aim to use plain language to ensure all audiences can understand. Using technical jargon and industry-specific terms might alienate a recruiter or anyone else who doesn't have the same subject matter expertise as you. So let's bring this all together. I'd like to share my personal elevator pitch with you, and I think that you'll notice that it might sound a little familiar. Hi, I'm Jen, and I'm a career coach at Indeed. For the past 10 years, I've worked in a variety of career services roles, including talent acquisition, career coaching, and even team leadership. Through this experience, I've learned that the job search can feel isolating, and no one should ever have to feel like they're in it alone. I'm interested in opportunities to create career development resources and provide guidance to the people who need it. What brings you here today? If you'd like more tips on how to deliver an elevator pitch, be sure to check out this career guide article. All right, let's recap what we've learned. My top tips for crafting a compelling elevator pitch are create your present statement, create your past statement, create a future statement, keep it concise, keep it relevant, and keep it natural. For more tips on how to create the perfect elevator pitch, be sure to check out this career guide article. So there you have it. Thank you so much for watching. I hope that you really do find this information to be helpful and that you're able to apply it to craft your perfect elevator pitch. If you'd like to see more videos like this, please like and subscribe and hit the notification bell down below to stay updated. Thank you so much for watching. I'll see you next time.
That was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So glad I was able to share the audio regarding how to create the perfect elevator pitch. So I've had a blast even hosting solo. I've had a blast. I thank you, listening audience, global audience, for tuning in. I thank you. So just a recap, how to create the perfect elevator pitch in 6 steps, Jennifer Herity, and it's been from March 2023. Certified career coach, and she helps you tell a compelling story about who you are and where you're going in under 2 minutes. So a recap of the article and what she mentioned in that presentation, video presentation, which is audio over the podcast. Perfecting your elevator pitch can help all areas of your career. Whether you're trying to secure your dream job, convince investors to invest in a company, or sell products and services, an effective elevator pitch can allow you to make the new connections and leave lasting positive impressions on audiences. While it's a valuable tool, it takes effort and practice to prep a powerful pitch. What is a perfect elevator pitch? A perfect elevator pitch allows you in 60 seconds or less to tell someone about yourself, your product, or your ideal in an interesting, memorable, and succinct way. Job candidates can use this tool to introduce themselves to hiring managers or recruiters, offering a quick overview of who they are and what kind of role they seek. Sales professionals and entrepreneurs also use this tool to sell their products and services. What to include in a perfect elevator pitch? Here are the key components to include in an elevator pitch. Problem. Explain the problem that you can solve as a professional or with your product or service. Solution. Once you define the problem, you can explain your solution. Unique selling proposition, USP. Highlight what makes your product, service, or candidacy different from the competition. Hook. Make a memorable statement to capture your audience's attention at the end. For example, you might emphasize the profit their business could make by using your product. And then there's another article, How to Give an Elevator Pitch with Examples. And when to use an elevator pitch, interviewing for a job, during a job interview, the interviewer may say, tell me about yourself. I ask you to pitch yourself as a candidate. In response to this, you can deliver a concise, engaging elevator pitch to insinuate your qualifications for the position and outline how you plan to contribute to the company. Introducing an organization to investors. If you want to start a business, you may choose to seek investors that can fund the organization. An elevator pitch can allow you to promote your business idea or model to potential stakeholders and persuade them to support your efforts. Marketing a product or service. If you work in marketing, sales, business, or a related field, you may be responsible for promoting a product or service to potential customers. You can use an elevator pitch to summarize a product or service's value, encourage audiences to make purchases. A pitch mistake is being inauthentic or scripted. So number one, introduce yourself. That's how to create a perfect elevator pitch. Near the beginning of your elevator pitch, deliver one sentence about who you are, mention your full name and occupation. For example, you might introduce yourself as a sales representative for a specific company or a consultant for a small to medium-sized business owners. If you're a student, you could clarify your major and name the school you attend. And then there's a related article entitled How to Introduce Yourself Professionally. Number two, explain what you do. Write one or two sentences about what you do and the specific problem you solve. If you're a job candidate, highlight your professional abilities and areas of expertise. If you're advertising an idea, explain the idea and why it's important. Focus on the benefits you provide and how you impact the lives of others. Three, identify who you serve. Write one or two sentences about who your ideal clients are. You might want to outline how your products and services help this group of people. If you're a job candidate in an interview, consider discussing why you want to work for the hiring company. Four, state what makes you different. Write down your USP to distinguish yourself from competitors. If you're endorsing a product, service, or company, reference how it meets consumer needs. If you're a job candidate, write about the experiences, competencies, or credentials that make you unique as a candidate. Then there's a related article, what is unique value proposition plus examples. Then there's five, including an exciting hook. Add a hook at the end to capture the attention of your audience. For example, you might immediately convey how your product or service can impact their lives. You can also use a thought-provoking question instead of a statement, such as one that addresses the problem that they may be experiencing. And then six, create a cohesive speech. Once you have drafted different parts of your speech, combine the statements into a coherent presentation. Make sure you can transition between points in a clear conversational manner. Practice saying it out loud by yourself and with others to ensure it's brief and understandable. And then there's a related article, how to prepare an informal interview. So thank you all for sticking for being with me these past 2 hours as I host this solo style commentary style show. Shows are already up for tomorrow and Tuesday. Shows are 5 a.m. So for those of you that are in the 5 a.m. club, join me. I hope some of you are reading Robin Sharma's book, The 5 a.m. Club, too. So 5 a.m. Central Standard Time. You know, it'd be late morning, afternoon, evening, late night, maybe even Tuesday in some parts of this beautiful world. But tomorrow is Mindful Monday, and we'll be talking about my mindfulness lifestyle. And on Tuesday, Thanks for Tuesday, discussing the power of prayer and positive affirmations, and continuing talking about the different forms of love. So please join me, and remember the number is 516-595-8255. The call-in number is 516-595-8255, 516-595-8255. Remember, those of you that have not created your listener profiles, definitely do so. You can chat in the chat room and interact with the BTR community. Big shout-out to my cousin Linda, Big shout out to President CEO. Big shout out to Brother Warren. Big shout out to everyone here at Blog Talk Radio and everyone in the podcast and radio community. Big shout out. Big shout out to the world. Big shout out to all of you. All of us are doing our best to make this world, this galaxy, a better, better place. So thank you for your love and support. Thank you for emailing me at kultreshokent_beth@yahoo.com. 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 A Cash App. Thank you. $BETHBTRUKULTRESHOK. KULTRESHOK. $BETHBTRUKULTRESHOK. PayPal.me/@BETHWMSBTRU. PayPal.me/BethWilliams BETHWMSBTRU. PayPal, I mean. Had an interference going on. Again, PayPal is @BETHWMSBTRU. Thank you for your love and your support. Thank you. Thank you. Big shout out again to the owners and management here at BTR, fellow podcasters, the listening community. Big shout out to Spotify, iHeartRadio. Also, and I'm going to be active more again throughout my social media. So you never know when I might schedule some and then just pop on. So interact. I appreciate you interacting with me and those of you that love for me to interact with you when you're on live. Because I do support many, many of you on live. And big shout out again to the TikTokers and Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Tumblr, my Avon community again, Africa Imports. Thank you, No Labels. Yeah, we're doing some big things with the No Labels movement. Big shout out. We have a big election coming up too, here in the state of Mississippi. You have up to October the 9th if you're not registered to vote. October the 9th is the deadline to register to vote so you can vote on November the 7th here in the state of Mississippi. So thank you so much. So I'm reminding you to register to vote if you're not registered. If your birthday is October the 9th, then that's the perfect birthday present for yourself. And our Secretary of State, Michael Watson, he even was on the news expressing how he loved for many of us with platforms like our podcast and the organization and individuals, how he would love for us to encourage those that are not registered to vote. And those of us that are registered to vote, vote November 7th, and especially young people. You know, go ahead and register to vote. Your vote does count. So it's important to get out and vote. And I like to have forms with me, so I need to make copies of, like, a couple forms that I do have so I can hand out to those that might, you know, need a form. And you can print them off, too, online. And mail them in. The deadline's October the 9th. I think mail-ins need to be received by the 10th, if I'm not mistaken. I have to give you the correct information on that. Also, contact your Secretary of State, well, here in Mississippi, Secretary of State, Michael Watson office, and your local election commission, those that are interested in being poll managers and poll workers and also, because they're always in need. And because a lot of that was like non-paid volunteer work. You get paid when you work as a poll manager. Now, some candidates, some pay and some, you know, want you to donate your time. So that's between you and like certain respective campaigns. But as in being a poll manager or poll worker, those are paid gigs. So, you know, wherever you are, contact your Secretary of State office and your local election commission. Here in Jackson, you contact your, you know, here in Mississippi, you contact the Secretary of State office, and then they'll contact your local election commission. And are in Hinds County, that's Mississippi, you can contact Hinds County election commission also. But those of you that are not registered to vote, and if you would be 18 by October the 9th, if you would like to give yourself a birthday present or register to vote, good idea, and exercise your right to vote. Secretary of State Michael Watson, very concerned about low voter turnout. And someone keep calling and knowing I am hosting a podcast, and that is so rude and disrespectful. But it's very important that I, you know, remind you, and you know, we have, all states have important elections coming up. We're in the midst of our presidential election campaigning going on. So definitely, like something that Cousin Linda and I talk about often too, try to know where you need to vote for your local and state elections, and also get up on it also for your presidential elections and campaigns. And also, you know, Super Tuesday is in March. Is in March of 2024. That's not far away. It's like 6 months, 5-6 months away from now. So I'm just reminding you all. So, yeah, for real. It's a real deal. So, again, thank you all for your love and support. Big shout-out to T-Mobile. I hope you become a sponsor. Yes, thank you, T-Mobile. Thank you so much. My service had been interrupted, you guys. So I'm serious when I say I thank you for Cash Apping me or PayPaling me. So thank you for anything you send definitely goes into the show. So thank you, T-Mobile. My service had been interrupted, but it was restored. So a big shout out to the very nice agent that helped me, Aubrey, keeping my service on. Thank you, T-Mobile. I hope you become a sponsor. Thank you. Thank you. I definitely recommend your service and your home internet to family and friends and to the listening audience of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. So thank you, T-Mobile. Yay, yay, yay. I love their commercials anyway. But yes, thank you, listening community. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sending out good vibes and prayers to you. May you have a blessed new week. A blessed new week, and believe. Just believe. I'm believing. Let's believe in miracles. Let's believe in good things happening. Let's speak. One of my TikTok friends say, let's speak beautiful things into existence. Let's have faith. Let's have faith. Like my late mom used to say, put it all in God's hands. Not some, not most, Beth. You put it all in God's hands and never give up. You and your friends, never give up. So friends, co-producers of the show, listening audience globally, let's never give up. Let's keep pushing through. Let's keep pressing on. Okay? And I thank you so much. I'm so grateful. I've been having a great time with you all. I hope that you enjoyed the presentation. Look forward to Pastor Dunn, Jr. CEO, sharing with us how to present a 60-second elevator pitch too. Check out his network and everything, and he's very congruent here on Blog Talk Radio throughout social media, Pastor Dunn, Jr. CEO. Let's do what we can do, you all, to continue world peace and share and love with one another. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. Here's the intro I'm playing as the outro, and also that fun music that I had played earlier. And I'll play the birthday song again, too, for those of you celebrating birthdays. September babies, huh? Okay. One of my uncles have a birthday this week, and many friends. So, well, his birthday is next week. But, you know, big shout out to all September babies. Thank you, his Charismizi of Istanbul, Turkey, and also going to play that song Empower and the birthday song all over again. And that should be the end of the show. So, I love you, and I appreciate your love. God bless. I'm Beth, a.k.a. Be True, and you've been listening to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports right here at BTR.
It's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's a great day. That's what we say. Happy birthday.
They say you're not real.